Have you been working on your business or your side hustle passion for a really long time, but feel like it's so hard to get to that next level, whether you're stuck at the same income level, you're stuck at the same traffic numbers? How do we get to that next level? It really comes down to business mastery, which is what we're going to talk about in this episode. If you do feel stuck, this is the unstuck episode for you. Our guest who joins us today is the founder of Caffeine Marketing and Caffeine Labs. Caffeine Marketing makes profitable marketing easy for small companies, and it is the educational arm of the Caffeine family and gives entrepreneurs the exact blueprint to run in order to grow the company they've been dreaming of. So our guest who joins us for this episode is none other than Evan Knox. Evan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark. I'm so glad to hang out with you. This is going to be a ton of fun, and thanks for having me on the show.
Evan, I'm so pumped to have you on Breakthrough Success, and I do feel like there are a lot of people who are just like, how do I get to that next level? Because there are people who maybe they're financially fine, but I do feel like even if you're financially fine, you are looking to level up your income or level up whatever it is, because I feel like when you're in business, you're just naturally attracted to making progress in all the different areas of your business and life. So with that in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us what has been some of the key things that have helped you accelerate, because I know you've had a few years in a row where you've been able to double your profits. So I'd really love to talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Often we think that there is some guru out there who's sitting on the top of the mountain and he's just got like the secret to success in order to grow your company. But in reality, people like Jeff Bezos are extremely successful because they take the top 1% optimizations of every little thing, and sometimes even like the 0.1% optimizations in every area of their business and their life. And so what I've been able to do is, like, you know, you mentioned, Mark, has doubled my company's bottom line revenue every single year for the last 3 years, but that didn't come through one secret trick. That came through hyper-optimizing my business, my leadership, and myself. And often I think possibly the most overlooked one outside of business systems and processes and having effective marketing is probably self, especially as entrepreneurs or small business owners or people who are aspiring to do that. We often think if we could just work harder, then we can get more output. But in reality, there's way more to it than that in order to actually be successful.
And I do feel like there are people who, you know, you've heard of the work smart, work hard concept, but then you've got the, hey, let's work smart and hard. So at the end of the day, there are a lot of people who do work hard anyway. And yeah. I love how you mentioned, you know, you focus on the top 1% of things to optimize. So can you talk a little bit about what have been some of those top 1% things for you? And how do we find those for ourselves?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the most applicable ones are going to be in that self category, and we can possibly get into the marketing and leadership ones a little bit later on. But the first one starts off with self-awareness. So understanding how you, like, how you're wired, what you're currently feeling, and practicing mindfulness and gratitude, all of that stuff seems kind of heady and like it doesn't actually affect your bottom line. But if you have the right mindset going into a sales call, you're much more likely to actually close that sale. So for example, let's say you've got a mindset of scarcity when it comes to your marketing and you're thinking, you know what, I don't know if we have enough, especially, you know, the current climate. So it's like, we're looking at, I don't know if I feel like I've got enough resources in order to scale and grow our company. And that's a scarcity mindset. It's like this, I have to hoard all my resources, and that ultimately is going to prevent people from growing. So a great example of this is one of my clients. He is a Harvard grad, extremely successful, probably way smarter than I am. I mean, heck, he went to Harvard. I did not. And we're sitting there having a business conversation and we're talking about, okay, hey, what is the next 3 years look like for your company? It's an online e-commerce company. It's doing over $2 million in revenue. He's got 50% margin in his products. So he's doing just fine, right? Yeah, absolutely. But as we were talking through all of this, I'm like, hey, you know, we're looking at your current optimization rates. We've done everything we possibly can with this current site in order to increase, you know, add to cart, sessions converted, all of these metrics that are basically conversion metrics, which tell us, you know, whatever steps someone is taking in the marketing funnel, you know, did they actually purchase and check out? So as we looked at all this stuff, we've basically optimized everything that we can without completely overhauling the site. And unfortunately, it's an old platform. He's had it for over 5 years, and the add to cart is somewhere around 4%. And we know that we can get them around 6 to 8%, but we're going to have to completely redo the site in order to get there. And so as we talk through that, that's probably like 20 grand or so to build a, you know, a Shopify site. More or less, you could do it less than that, but that's around what we were talking about. And so as we looked at that, he's like, you know what, that's just way too much. I can never spend that. Well, in reality, you know, if he's able to convert 1% more customers, you know, or 10% more customers, or bump up that add to cart rate from 4 to 5%, that's, you know, that's an astronomical return on investment for him. But that scarcity mindset is the thing that keeps him from going forward.
And Evan brings up a great point, having the right mindset. What you do at the start of the day really matters. I've recently started to wake up and just start by running 2 easy miles and do my real run later. And I mean, it just puts you in a different state when you wake up, like hitting some checks off the box already, waking up early. And the scarcity mindset is just going to be something that holds people back. It is interesting though, to what I said earlier about how we all want progress. That guy from Harvard, he's fine. That's 1 million in profit. But you know, he's still looking to level up. So that just shows that, you know, you're always looking to grow. And I feel like that's why everyone, regardless of how successful they are always thinking about that next level.
Absolutely. And as a continuation of that is some other overlooked things in the self category are sleep and stress. And so again, we talk back, okay, we always have to make more progress. We have to work harder. And I am all for, you know, hustling and making it happen. But I've got a friend, the PG-13 version of what he said is instead of get stuff done, it's get smart shit done. And so it's both working hard and also working effectively. And if you look at, you know, rest actually helps you work more effectively. So if you're able to get an adequate amount of shortwave sleep and REM sleep, you're going to perform better the next day. And so I have a device on my wrist called a Whoop. It's spelled how it sounds, Whoop. And it basically tracks my total amount of sleep in the time in bed. And then in addition to that, it tracks my different types of sleep. So shortwave, light, deep sleep, et cetera. So REM sleep. And so as I look through all that, I'm able to optimize my sleep in order to get more REM sleep and more shortwave sleep so that I have better cognitive function the next day. And that is, I mean, incredibly effective as I look at either creating content or if I look at I don't want to create a new product, because ultimately my subconscious has to be able to bring information to the top of my mind to my conscious brain. But if my conscious brain is running on low battery mode, then I'm not going to be able to get those great ideas. And I'm just going to be sitting in front of the computer, looking at a blank screen for 4 hours, feeling like I'm working, but not actually getting the output that I want.
We've got more great content coming up in this episode, but first we have a message from our sponsor.
Have you wanted to train your dog but didn't know how or even where to begin? The book from Northern California renowned dog trainer and author Steve Ryder. From Sit to Gun Dog is the resource you have been looking for. From Sit to Gun Dog has been a year in the making. This must-read book was written for anyone looking to train their next hunting or family companion. From basic obedience training to hunt training, From Sit to Gun Dog takes you every step of the way. Steve Ryder has always said that beside every well-trained dog is a happy and proud owner. From Sit to Gun Dog is perfect for every dog owner and makes a great gift for the dog lovers in your life. From Sit to Gun Dog, from author and dog trainer Steve Ryder, is available on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and the website dogsofthefeather.com. Available in hardcover, paperback, and Kindle editions. Order your copy right now. From Sit to Gun Dog, from author and dog trainer Steve Ryder.
And I do feel like sleep and stress are definitely overlooked. I do feel like people get the stress part because they feel it. And then they're like, I have to change, but I'm still stressed. So I feel like that's one of those things people know is there, but they just don't do enough to address it. But sleep is another big one. I mean, you got to figure out what works best for you. Maybe something that works. I don't wear one of those things when I go to bed. I just prefer to, you know, play it by, you know, my phone alarm. But
yeah,
you do want to figure out what works for you. And then really be able to get the sleep that you need, really be able to manage the stress. And I do think we should talk about stress next, because I feel like that's what stress could push you to the next level if used right. But I feel like when you haven't hit the next level, the stress compounds those feelings of inadequate or feelings of, you know, I'm not enough. So how can we not let the stress control us and continue to push on without feeling inadequate?
Yeah. So a starting point for stress is at a biological level. So our hormones regulate a lot of the stress that we feel. Some of the stress is external, stuff that's happening to us, but sometimes we're more susceptible to that because of our hormone balance. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, getting sleep is one of the easiest ways to reduce your stress levels because your body is able to normalize your different hormone levels. The next thing is to actually understand stress and how your body processes it. So whenever you feel stress, that's that fight or flight happening in your brain, and your primitive brain is essentially dumping cortisol into your frontal lobe, which is inhibiting your ability to think rationally, and you're also your ability to make executive decisions. So we as leaders are often poorer leaders when we feel stressed or when we let stress affect us, because cortisol is inhibiting the frontal lobe of our brain. And so we're not able to actually make great decisions if we feel stressed. So it's really important to manage that stress, whether it be through sleep, breathing, having a network of community, you know, whatever that may look like to you. But you have to manage that in order to make better decisions. And then not only that, in order to lead people well, whenever you're stressed, that cortisol also inhibits the production of serotonin and oxytocin, which is the chemicals that help you feel empathy for other people. So ultimately, if you feel stressed, I know I've been under leadership, and I'm sure I've done it to people that I lead, that when I do feel stressed, I'm not that great of a leader because I'm not empathetic for the people that I'm leading. And that even goes for potential clients, like on sales calls. Like if I feel stressed out going to a sales call, I'm not able to empathize with what this person's feeling. And so I'm not able to help them overcome these obstacles that they have to overcome in order to work with my company, Caffeine.
And that's a great point. The stress doesn't affect you. It also affects the people in your life, and it affects relationships you could be building. The amount of stress you have in any given moment could be the difference between converting a client and not converting a client. So, I mean, you know, there are ways, you know, we could trim down workload. We could get like something lucky, like in our lives where like, you know, some dire thing goes away, or just like we suddenly see a spike in sales. But sleep is one of those things that you can control. So you do want to focus on the things you can control instead of saying, if I get a good number of sales today, I'm not going to be stressed. So just focus on the different things you can control. That's going to help. I know that, you know, you talked about the guy from Harvard earlier, and you've been able to get to the next level time and time again, and you've helped other people do that. So I'm wondering, if you're looking at someone, they go to you, Evan, I'm stuck, I don't know what to do. How do you get that person to the next level? What are some of those initial questions you have or things you're looking at?
I think it starts with an assessment of where people are currently at. And that kind of goes back to that self-awareness. If you don't know where you're currently at in your emotional intelligence, your relational intelligence, your, you know, cognitive ability, I guess your business acumen or IQ, then you're ultimately not going to be able to know how to go forward. And so it starts with an audit of what you're currently doing. So if I was talking to a business owner, we would start with looking at their systems, their processes, their marketing. And one of the first questions I would ask is like, okay, what's your number one selling product? You know, what's your highest revenue generating product or service? And then we would create systems and processes in order to hyper-optimize that one. And then not only hyper-optimize it, but pour like gasoline on the fire and advertise and sell around that one product. Because we know they've already got something really good working there. But if we just go around and try to add multiple revenue streams just because they don't want to do that one anymore, and ultimately it's not going to be as successful as we could as hyper-optimize something that's already working well. So starting with that audit, looking at their revenue streams, and then we could look at their marketing. That's obviously, as a marketing guy, that's one of my favorite things to do, is look at marketing and how do we help companies break through that next level. Well, a lot of it starts with the same process, auditing. Okay, so we have these three categories: brand awareness, which is essentially the stage in a marketing funnel when people become aware of your brand. And consideration is when people are in this mode where they're aware of your product, they're considering working with you, but they have not yet. And then lastly is conversion. And conversion is ultimately the event that we want them to take, which is buying from you or working with you, et cetera. So as we look at marketing and we're trying to level up in our marketing, we have to audit what are all the ways currently, not what we want, but currently that people hear about you as a, you know, business owner, entrepreneur, or even as a sales executive. So we look at that and we go, okay, it's either word of mouth, it's possibly post on LinkedIn, Or it's through advertising on Facebook, whichever. So we write a lot of stuff down for brand awareness. And then we have to evaluate what systems and processes do we have who are for the people in the consideration phase. So do we have a lead generating PDF on our website that we could have like a 5-part or a 7-part email series that follows up with them in order to nurture these leads, in order to turn these people from subscribers into customers? Do we have retargeting campaigns on YouTube and Facebook in order to turn potential customers who've put on to your website in order to turn them into actual customers and not just visitors on your website? And lastly, conversion. Are we making it as easy as possible for people to work with you? Because most likely, especially with e-commerce stores, there's so much friction in order to actually buy a product. If we can remove some of the steps of friction in order to help people make it as easy as possible for them to work with you, you're ultimately going to be able to take those 1% optimizations in order to be more successful. So if we do that, if we take, like, let's say we're able to make your Facebook ads 10% more effective and you're able to get 10% more, and then we also increase your add to cart by 10%, and then we also increase your return customer rate by 10%. Now we're talking a 30% growth just by, you know, adding all these small little optimizations along the way.
And Evan consistently has brought up percentages and numbers and small tweaks that they don't seem too big, but when you build them all up, they're very powerful. Like, to get a sales page, obviously, you know, let's just say you're at an average conversion rate. To get it to convert 30% higher is a really big ask, but 10% better conversion rate on the sales page, you're not asking too much. 10% better conversion with the ads, you're not asking too much. And you get these little 5%, 10% improvements in these different areas, that's going to help you really grow without doing too much work. And that's where we get to the smart versus hard, because you could just push out your book or your training course or whatever it may be to more people. But if you're converting at 1% and you get that to like 4%, which is closer to average, we're talking about 4Xing your sales without 4Xing your audience, which there's a big difference going from 1 to 4% versus 1,000 email subscribers to 4,000 email subscribers.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes everything you do more effective. So if you have this hyper-optimized sales funnel, now you can, every time you put people into that sales funnel through advertising, you're going to be getting a higher return on your investment. So like we said, if we had, you know, say we spent $100 on to put people onto a website and we've got a 2% conversion rate on that website, and let's say the product is $10, so 2% of the people you're buying, forgive my math here, ad hoc, but you're essentially getting $20 back, right? So if it's a $10 product, you're getting 2% conversions. But obviously this is not a very profitable company at this point, but for the sake of this simple math, we do $100 again and we get 100 people to go on the website and we get a 4% conversion. Now you're making $40. Ultimately, at that point, your marketing funnel is broken because you need more effective advertising at the top end. But that's the same math either way.
And I do feel like when you do the math, it's easier to figure out what your shortcomings are, because I feel like the reason that people struggle with the next level is they don't really quantify what they have to do to get to that next level. It's not work harder. You do want to grind and hustle. We've talked about that already, but it is looking at, you know, what's going to boost my conversion rate without me putting in too much extra work. And if you think that way, how can I boost my conversion rate, stuff like that, without putting in too much extra work, that allows you to set the system up. And then once the system is set up, you can then think about how do I work smart and hard to achieve the type of growth to expand my audience. So when you do go from 1% to 4% in the example I mentioned earlier, let's then think about how do we go from 1,000 to 4,000 subscribers, because that's going to be the next step to grow even more.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing that kind of sprang to my head is if you don't measure something, you can't improve it. Because if you're just going off of a feeling, then you're ultimately not going to be able to scale your company to the one that you really want and to the one of your dreams. And that even goes for my personal life. I feel that way. So as I look at, I guess it's really work related too, but I try to measure out, I currently use an app called Harvest. I don't know if it's the best app ever, but it's the one I'm using right now. It's called Harvest, and it's essentially a time tracking tool that I can just enter in. Okay, I'm working on this project. I hit play and then it records how long it takes me. And so I look at that, yes, as a way to figure out how much time I'm spending on different activities, But ultimately, I'm going to work as hard as I can for 4 hours to 6 hours, depending on the day. That's like my best work is comes in those 4 to 6 hours. And everything after that, after lunch, is kind of meh, it's okay. But if I can optimize my sleep, my nutrition, my fitness in order to make that 3.5 hours or that 3 hours turn into 6 productive hours, I'm ultimately going to be way more successful. And I even felt this 2 nights ago, maybe. I got like 6 hours and change of sleep, which is like 2 hours less than I would really want. And so as I went into my work the next day, I'm like doing stuff and I'm like, man, I just like 3 hours in and I'm exhausted. Like I'm miserable. I'm not loving what I do. But that ultimately comes because I felt so tired. I had to force myself to actually do work. So if you can measure, then you can ultimately improve.
And that's where we get to that quantifiable approach, because measuring lets you see how can I get better? How can I avoid getting worse? And in Evan's example, not getting enough sleep for your body, I mean, that's going to impact how you work, and it is going to affect your ability to reach that next level. It's not just about how can we get more sales, how can we get more downloads, how can we get more book readers. It's also about how can we preserve, maintain, grow our energy beyond what it currently is by getting more sleep, by doing the exercise a little longer, by splitting things up throughout the day and being smart about how we do our work, what our work processes look like. That's going to help us reach the next level and achieve business mastery. Another thing that's going to help you guys is to check out Evan and all of his work. So for people who want to do that, where do we go?
The easiest place is to go to Evan, E-V-A-N, KnoxKnox.com. You'll be able to find the course there as well as all the other companies that I'm involved with. Or you can just go to Caffeine Marketing if you're an entrepreneur, business owner, or you sell a product or service. You can just go to caffeine.marketing, no.com, just caffeine.marketing, and I'd love to connect with you.
Evan, thank you for sharing those resources with us. We will throw all those in the show notes. But once again, thank you for coming on Breakthrough Success. It was a pleasure to have you here today.
Thanks for having me, Mark.